Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chof Aleph. This is the second to last Daf in this entire beautiful Masechta, and we begin on Kuf Chof Aleph Omer Aleph on the third line, quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Rav Yehuda Omer Lo Kol V'chule." The Mishnah, Rav Yehuda had said, this is Rav Yehuda ben Bava, and he had said that the Tanakama, who said that you can only say with accuracy that this dead person is who he is if you see them within 3 days. But if it's beyond 3 days, then you can't state with any certainty that this is the dead person that you're claiming him to be, because physical appearances, facial appearances change after that period of time. And along comes Rav Yehuda ben Bava, and he tells us that no, not everything is the same, not all people are the same, not all places are the same, and not all times are the same. So therefore, he disagrees. And the Gemara's question is, Ibailu, how much does he disagree? In what way is he disagreeing? Ibailu, Rehudim and Bava, Lekula Palig or Lechumra Palig? It also says, Lekula or Lechumra. What is Rehudim and Bava's Shita? Is he saying, no, 3 days is too long, and it's actually more machbi, he says, even a shorter period of time, or does he say it's even a longer period of time, or is he saying, no, every case is different? That's seemingly Tosus's point, is actually the correct one, that he's not saying for certain that it's less than 3 days or it's more than 3 days. Every case is individualized, and you have to look at each case individually. So that's the question. What is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava coming to come and disagree with the Tanakhama? So Toshma, we try to bring a right from the following Maisa Shahoya. Thou Gavr, the once was a person, the Tova Becharmi. He drowned in a place called Karmi, name of a river or a city. The Askua Abe Hedya, the Vosat Tlosa Yomim. And he body was brought to the shore in a place called Bay Hedja after 3 days. So this was more than 3 days. So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, it would be impossible to go and identify him at this point in time. But nevertheless, Rav Dimi, who was the Rav in that town, Ansava Rav Dimi Minar Doi Lidvisu. Rav Dimi, who was the grand rabbi of that area, permitted his wife to marry. So even though it was after 3 days, he permitted her to marry. Now, as we'll see in a moment, if it's a Tanakhama, can't be his opinion, he wouldn't have allowed him, so it must be that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was Makel. And similarly, another story, Vesu, how Gavra the Itbabi Diglas, the once was a person who drowned in the river Diglas, the Tigris River. Vasku, they brought him out of the water, Agishra, by the bridge of Shabistina, that's the name of the city where this bridge was. So this was also after 3 days. Vansiva Rava, Rava permitted Lidvisu for that person's wife, Apuma de Shushbine, and he permitted her on the testimony of the Shushbinin, the close friends of this Chosson, who never passed away, and via their testimony that this was the person, he allowed the wife to remarry. And this was Labasa Chamisha Yomi. This was more than 3 days. This was even more than 5 days after the person had drowned. Now, if you're going to tell me, both based upon these two cases, yeah, Ms. Bishlama Lekula Poly, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is disagreeing with the Tanakhama, he's saying, no, you can even do it more than 3 days if they're able to testify. So then, these two Gedolim, Rav Dimi and Rava, Inu, these two Gedolim, the Ovid, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, they pass it like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. But if you're going to tell me, Eliyim, Rav Zulchomir Poly, but if Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is more strict than the Tanakhama, so then, who did they pass it like? Who did Rav Dimi and Rava pass it like? Inu, the Ovid, come on. They have nobody to rely upon. They can't be the Tanakhama. It can't be Rudim above. So Gemara says, no. The difference here is shiny maya. This is, they found these bodies after they had drowned, that some say. And by being in the water, so the water constricts the bodies and it doesn't allow the changes in the body to occur. And therefore, even though it's more than 3 days, more than 5 days, even the Tanakhama would argue that the person is able to be defined and recognized as who he is. Where I says, wait a second, but we just said earlier in yesterday's shiur of Amris Maya Mayazumaka, we said that water actually can hurt a wound. So how come in this situation you're saying that the water helps, so to say, in preserving things, whereas previously we said that the water can cause a person to die faster? So where it says, Hani Mili Hechodika Maka, that idea that the water is damaging, that's if you have a wound. So it gets infected, it gets all sorts of problems because there's a wound over there. So Hani Mili Hechodika Maka, the water's bad. However, Aval Hechodaleka Maka, but where there is no Maka, never the person drowned, so Mitzmas Tzomis, so the water somehow constricts the person, it makes the person shrink in some way that allows his facial characteristics to be maintained. But the word qualifies as it says, Bahani Mili, this is only true, the Chiaske, when they take him out of the water, Chazio Bishaiti, they go see him, and the word Bishaiti literally means in its time, in its hour, which means somewhat immediately. The post can discuss what does it mean immediately, how much time you actually have. So some give a longer period of time, some give a shorter period of time, but the bottom line is, you have to go and see this body Nebuch right away in order to be able to prove the identity. Because if you wait, avolishtai, if you wait, then mitpach tofach, then the effects of the water will cause the body to swell, and Nebuch, then you won't be able to recognize the person, and people's testimony that this is the person who they think it is will not be acceptable. Okay, next Mishnah. Nafal labayim rechmanu l'slan, if a man fell into water, bein sheyesh lehem sov, bein shein lehem sov, ishto asura. Now this is something that we alluded to the other day as well. A body of water that has a sof and a body of water that doesn't have a sof. What does this mean? So a body of water, sheyesh lehem sof, we'll see defined as a person standing in a strategic location will be able to see all four of the sides, the north, south, east, and west borders of this body of water. So it's a lake, let's say, and he can see all areas from where the water ends. And therefore, if a person were to have gotten out of the water, he had survived and got ashore, you'd be able to see it. As opposed to a body of water, she'ein lahen sof, it doesn't have an end, meaning that you can't see even to the horizon, the water still stretches. You're looking at the Atlantic Ocean, so you can't see Europe from the Atlantic Ocean in New York. It has ein lo sof. It doesn't have an end to it, as opposed to if you have a lake. The lake's, you know, 100 yards by 100 yards. So, okay, you can see the entire surrounding shore, and that's called a lake, sheyesh lahen sof. So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the Chacham say, if a person, Rachmanel, is drowned in a body of water, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a body of water that you can see all the shores or it's a body of water that you can't see the shores, ishto asura, until you find the body and definitively state that this is the person that Nebuch passed away, his wife is not permitted to marry. Remeir disagrees. Amar Rav Meir, ma'aseh be'echad shenafal lebor hagadol. One time a person fell into a big pit that was filled with water, and va'ola li'achad shlosh yamim. He survived in there. How he survived exactly, the Gemara will discuss a little bit. There is a way, Yerushalmi has an approach that says that this is Maisa Nisim, but I think the easier and simpler way to understand this is it's not Maisa Nisim. There was some physical characteristic about this water. There was an underground grotto that actually opened up to a body of air, and there was some sort of other non-miraculous way that he was saved, and therefore Remei says that you can't apply this rule because even after 3 days, this person was able to survive. And therefore, even water, sheyesh lahen sof, so one might have thought that, well, if he didn't survive, he's obviously dead. So Remei says, no, you can't take that to the bank. I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi says, Ma'isa besuma, shiord litbol b'mara. The one time was a blind person that went to go and bathe over here in a mara, or to go to the mikveh in a mara, and he had his aid with him. V'yorad moshlo achrov, and the person who leads him, his aide, his assistant, went with him, and both of them drowned over there. V'shol k'desh tetzin afshim. Nobody saw them come back, and they were in this pit filled with water for a period of time that there's no way they could have survived, and yet they, the COS and Shoseim, even though they never found the bodies, so they allowed their wives to marry. So Rav Yossi disagrees with Rav Meir, and he says, if there's a situation where it's a pit, where Yesh Lem Sof, you can see all around it, they didn't see anybody come up, and even though they never found the bodies, he says you can allow them to go, and the wives to go and remarry. Another Maisa to show you, and this we had in yesterday's year as well, Vashuv Maisa Ba'asya, there was a Maisa that occurred in Asia, Be'echod She'shul Shaluhu Layam, they lowered a guy down into the water, they tied a rope to his leg so he would be able to go back to the boat, and he went diving for pearls or whatever he was doing down there, but below also the other Milaragla, when they pulled up the rope, they only had the leg attached to it, no, a shark or some other animal seemed to have bitten him off, and Mestama killed him, all we had left with his leg, so is he considered dead or not? So Amru Chacham, and Chacham said, if the leg that was left behind that was brought up with the rope included above the knee, so then there's no way a person can survive. That person is a trefa, and he's definitely going to die within the year. And therefore, even if he did somehow miraculously survive, the shark bit off his leg, but he was able to survive. So in that situation, they would allow the wives to remarry. A question, when they would allow the wives to remarry according to this, immediately, or did you have to wait till the end of the year when there's no longer a possibility that the trefa could have survived? But they would allow the wife to marry based upon they pulled back his leg with the above-knee part of the leg still there. And minarkuva lamata, but if it was only the ankle, let's say it was below the knee that was there, so then lotino said he wouldn't allow the wives to remarry because even in this situation, there's a possibility that he was able to survive, and therefore you can't presume that the man is dead until they have the body. Morris starts up and tells us, Tana Rabban, nofal lemayim, bein sheyesh lahem sof, bein shein lahem sof, ishto asura, divi remeir. So the braisa is exactly the same as our Mishnah. It tells us that Rav Meir holds that whether it's a body of water that has an end to it, you can see all the shores, or even if it's a body of water that you can't see the shores, Rav Meir holds that you have to, unless you have the body and can definitely prove that that's who it is, you have to assume that the guy somehow survived. Chachamim omrim, but this is the opinion of the Chachamim that disagree with Rav Meir. This is Rav Yossi's opinion. Mayim sheyesh lem sov ishto muteris. However, they agree that if it's the Atlantic Ocean, if there's no way to see all the four sides, so then you have to presume that possibly until you find the body, that he was able to survive. But if it's a Mayim Shiyesh Lam Sof, you can see all four sides, and the bag doesn't come up, so then you can presume that he in fact died, and his wife would be permitted to marry based upon that. The Gemara has Heichidom Mayim Shiyesh Lam Sof. What is the definition? I already mentioned, what is the definition of the water has an end? In other words, you can see all four sides. Amar Bayit, Kosh Omeid, Varoa, Me'ar, Beruchosam. If you're in a strategic point, and you can see all four sides, and you're standing there, and you don't see the guy come out, so that's a body of water, Shiyesh Lam Sof. In that situation, the Chamin, Rabbi Yossi, would say that a person's wife would be allowed to be remarried. Another Maisa show you how Gabra de Toba be Agma de Samki. There once was a man that drowned in the Agma de Samki. Agam, Rashi says, is a marsh, right? Like a swamp. And it was in a place called Samki. And the guy drowned, but they never found the body. And nevertheless, Ansava Rav Shila Lidvisu. So Rav Shila permitted the guy's wife to go and marry. Amalei Rav L'Shmuel, Rav, when he heard about what Rav Shila Paskin said to Shmuel, that's incorrect. Isn't this a marsh that ain't la sof? It doesn't have an end to it, and therefore he shouldn't have allowed the wife to remarry. Therefore, Rav said to Shmuel, Ta nishante, let's put him in chayrim for Paskin in a way that's incorrect. So Amalei, Shmuel said to him, let's first find out what's going on. Good idea, always. Nishlach le'beresha, before we go put him in chayrim, before we put him in shanta, so let's go ask him what he did. So, Shochalei. So, Rav agreed. Again, Rav was greater than Shmuel. And it's interesting that Rav wasn't embarrassed to go and follow his Talmud Chaver, his associate Shmuel's opinion, even though he thought right away, let's put him in Chayim. The greatness of Rav and the greatness of Shmuel, that he was willing to speak up and say, no, I think that we should go and ask him first. So, Shochalei. They went, Rav and Shmuel asked Rav Shela, what is the halacha? Mayim shein lem sof ishto asura muteris. So they asked him in a Socratic method. What is the halacha if a mayim shein lem sof, if there's no borders that you can see on all four sides? So if the person drowns there and we don't find the body, ishto asura, is the wife permitted to remarry or not? O muteris, is she allowed to remarry? So sholach lu, so Rav Shila sent back to them, ishto asura. No, of course not. She's not allowed to remarry. It's a mayim shein lem sof. You're not allowed to go and remarry. No, the Agma de Samke, this marsh, this swampy area of Samke, how do you consider that? Maybe you consider it a Mayim Sheyesh Lam Sof, and she would be permitted. So, Mayim Sheyesh Lam Sof, or not, or you consider it Mayim Shein Lam Sof, and therefore she would not be permitted. So, Rav Shila sent back to them, Sholach Lehu, Mayim Shein Lam Sof. This is Mayim Shein Lam Sof. So now they're in a quandary. He holds that the halach is in Mayim Shein Lam Sof, that the wife can't remarry. So why did you allow this wife to remarry in this Agma de Samke? So they asked him, Umar. Now, the obvious story is a great Talmud Chacham. They knew Rav Shila. It was a great Talmud Chacham. They called him Umar. Umar, my time, why did the master go and paskin this way? It seems to be inconsistent. You agree that Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, you aren't allowed to allow the wife to remarry, and this is a Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, yet you're allowed to remarry. So he said, I made a mistake. What was his mistake? The greatness of Rav Shila. We see the greatness of all three of these great Talmidei Chacham here. He said, I made a mistake. So, Mito Toina. What was my mistake? I originally thought kivon de kavu v'kaimi, that these weren't flowing waters. This is a swamp. It is a stagnant body of water, and therefore, the reason why if it's a mayim she'ein lahem sof, you're not allowed to let the wife remarry, because you have to assume that there were strong waves and eddies that carried the guy far away, and he somehow survived. But in this place, I thought, no, these are stagnant waters. This is a barely moving pond over here. And therefore, the kavu, the waters are gathered, but kaimi, and they're staying still. I thought this would therefore have the halachic status, k'mayim sheyesh lam sof tami. And therefore, it is no different in halacha than mayim sheyesh lam sof, because there's no way this guy went far away. He didn't get flowing waters to go take him far away. So that's why I thought the wife should be permitted. But then I realized, Velohi, I realized my mistake. I said, Kivon Dika Gali, there are waves over here, nevertheless, from the wind. Amar Gali Ashbelo. So you have to be concerned that the waves actually did carry him far away, and therefore I should have treated this as Mayim She'en Lo Sof, and therefore I shouldn't have permitted the wife. Oh, so now Rav and Shmuel were very happy. Rav Shila made a mistake. They're not going to put a guy into Chayim, into Shanta, for making a mistake, and everybody is happy. So the Gemara concludes and says, Kari Shmuel alei de Rav. Shmuel said about Rav, lo yu'une letzadik kol oven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented Rav from making any error, such as putting Rav Shila into Shamta. As Rashi points out, shlo bosa takola zuli yado. It didn't have a takola coming to Rav's hand that he would put such a great tzaddik like Rav Shila into Nidui, into Shamta. Shel Rav Lindo says Rav Shila, he didn't make this mistake. And Kari Rav alei de Shmuel, and Rav said about Shmuel, it was very smart of me to go near Shmuel. My saving came about. Rashi says, I wasn't embarrassed to go near Shmuel. What we should do? I didn't say we're doing it. I said, let's go ask advice. A great idea always for a Talmud Chacham, even a greater Talmud Chacham to someone who's not as great as him. So the only thing that we have left to answer is, what about Rav Shila? Rav Shila was also a great Talmud Chacham. How come he wasn't saved from possibly wrong over here? So the Ben Yehuda asks this question, and Ben Yehuda gives a beautiful terrace. He says that while he permitted her to get married, she actually never got married. So even Rav Shila was protected from Chas V'Shalom, a takala coming about from him, because he was also a very great person. Alternatively, the Ben Yehuda suggests that actually ultimately Edom came and did find the body and were able to testify that her husband had died. So even though she had married based upon Rav Shila, no takala arose because the husband really was dead. Okay, great story. Mark continues to say, "Tanya, we learn the following brayso." So, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, "Ma'ase b'shnei bnei adam mechamrim mechmorin b'yarden." Once it was a ma'ase shoya, there were people that were putting out nets. Mechmorin is nets, and they were mechamrim. They were putting out the nets to go trap the fish in the yarden. Now, the nichnas echem mehem lemechilu shodag. When one of them went down into the water to go and see the best place to put the nets to trap the fish, and he entered into a mechila shel dogim. It's like a furrow that the fish had made, and it ended up going into a place where there actually was a pocket of air, because they furrowed through into this ground, and it opened up inside a cave, but there was air over there. Now, he put the net there, great place to catch the fish. However, it was late in the afternoon, and the sun now set, and he couldn't find the exit. He couldn't get out of there. No, so he stayed there overnight. And his friend waited there, waiting for his friend to come up. And never, he didn't come up, so he just assumed that his friend drowned. So therefore, the friend that was on the surface, he went home and told everybody, Nebuch, so-and-so drowned. Meanwhile, the guy that they said was drowned was inside this grotto, was inside this furrow, and was breathing air in and was fine. So the friend who was on the surface, so he told everybody, Nebuch so-and-so died. No, what happened? Lamachar, the sun comes up, Zarchachama, the next day the sun comes up, and now the guy that's in the grotto was able to see where the exit was, Vihikar Pitzcha Shemuchilo, he sees how to get out of there, Uba, and he gets out of there, swims up to the surface, and goes home. When he gets home, Umotze Hespid God, Lamsoch Peso, he hears eulogies going on. They're eulogizing him. Everybody thought he was dead, and he comes into his own eulogy. So Rabbi says about this Maisa, Omer Rabbi, how great are the Chachamim? Kama Gedolim Diri Chachamim. How great are the Chachamim? As the Tosus Yishanim points out over here, Pirush says, Zeh hoyo emes, shemotzo mechila v'yotzo chutz l'mayim. The rabbi said this could occur. And here you see Taka, Maisa Shehoyo, where it did occur. So therefore, Kama Gedolim Diri Chachamim, shamu mayim sheyesh lemsof ishtu muteris. If water has the boundaries visible on all four sides, then Ishto Muteris. There's no way the guy could have survived. Shein Lem Sof, but in the situation, the Shein Lem Sof, like this case was with this guy's with the nets, Ishto Asura, you have to presume that the guy somehow survived, and therefore you can't let his wife remarry. More questions, but wait a second, if you're telling us over here that there are these furrows and underground grottos, so Yochi, Mayim Sheish Lem Sof Nami, even though you can see all four borders, why don't we say, Lechush Lemuchil Shodogim? Maybe the fish made some sort of a furrow over here, and there's this underground grotto that has an open place in it, and you can have air there, and the guy is saved. So why should it make any difference whether it's Mayim Sheish Lem Sof, Mayim Shein Lem Sof? If you're concerned about this, then you should be concerned about this in all cases. Or says, no, just the practical circumstances. When you're dealing with an ocean, so then these big fish come and go and make these furrows, and you can have these grottos. However, b'mayim she'esh l'msof, in these small little lakes, so that you don't have these big fish over there, mechila shel dogim lo shlicha, it's very, very unlikely that the fish would make a burrow and you have an underground grotto with an open air there pocket, so that's very unlikely. So therefore, the distinction between a mayim she'ein l'msof, where you have to be concerned about this, versus a mayim she'esh l'msof, where you don't have to be concerned about this. Amar Rashi, Rashi says, Hodam Rabbanim Mayim Shein Lehem Sof Ishtu Asura, that which the rabbi said, that if you're dealing over here with Mayim Shein Lehem Sof, a big ocean, so the wife is not permitted to marry until you find the body, Hani Mili Be'inish Di'alma. That's what a regular person, Ravashi says. However, Avotzur V'Rabbanan, if you're dealing with a famous rabbi, lo, because if the famous rabbi would have come up someplace else, the word would get out, the entire world would know that so-and-so was found. Look, he's the great rabbi who was found. As opposed to a Stam Yid, a plain person, so it may not make such big news, and he couldn't easily get back, and he couldn't somehow tell everybody he was still alive. But a great person, the news would fly. And therefore, Idisolik Kolo Islay, if this great Talmud Chacham, the Surim Rabbanan, was in fact found, so then everybody would know about it. So therefore, Rashi wants to differentiate even b'mayim shein lehem sof. It depends on who the person is. If it's a great Talmud Chacham, so it would be well publicized if he did survive. Whereas if it's a Stam Yid, it wouldn't be so well publicized. But the Gemara disagrees with Rashi, v'lohi. The Gemara says, no. Lo shno inish di'almav, lo shno tzuri rabbanim. It doesn't make a difference on the person, whether he's a mefursim person, a famous person, or he's not. Big Talmud Chacham or not. Bid the Evid, you're allowed to get married. The Evid in, however, l'chachila lo. If you come to ask a shayla, no, you can't get married. But if the person either didn't ask a shayla, according to some, then you're allowed to, if the woman did get married, you're allowed to stay married. Others say, no, even if you knew that you weren't allowed to get married, but the bottom line is, so this is only a chumra d'rabbanan not to get married, because min hadin, the rov is that the majority of people will die. And therefore, since you're allowed to rely upon the rov, there are those posting that say, even if you knew you weren't allowed to get married, but you did, you're allowed to stay married to the second husband. Again, others disagree and say, no, you're only allowed to stay married to the second husband if you got married without realizing you weren't allowed to. Tanya, we learn the following brayso. So Amar Ragam Leo said, Pamacha so yisi malach b'sfina. One time he was traveling in a boat. We have many stories in the Gemara, Ragam Leo and other, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Eliezer, Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, they were traveling, they were going fundraising all over the world for the yeshivas. Amar Ragam Leo, Pamacha so yisi malach b'sfina. One time I was on a boat, Barisi sfina acha shenishbara, and I saw a boat that had been destroyed. It was sinking. And Vayisi mitzdar al Talmud Chacham. I knew that a great Talmud Chacham was on that boat, and I was very sad that Talmud Chacham in stomach was going to die. And one, who was that great Talmud Chacham? Rabbi Akiva. This was Rabbi Akiva. However, ukisholisi biyabosha, when we docked and we came into the base medrash, Bovi Yoshav Adonah for Rabbi Halacha. Rabbi Akiva was there, and he was giving a shiur, and he was saying halachas. So Amar Tilo, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, wow, bini mielcha, who took you out of the water? Who saved you? Must have been an ace. So Amali, so Rabbi Akiva said the most famous words for the Daf Yomi people, Daf shel svina nizdamin li. A daf is a board of wood, a plank of wood came to me, chanced to me, and I grabbed onto it, and the whole gal, shabal light, and as the waves were sweeping over me, yanati lo roshi, I ducked my head, and the waves passed over me, and I was able to survive and not drown, and the board carried me with the waves, and I came to dry land. This story has been made famous by the great Rav Meir Shapira Zatzal, the Lublin Rav, in the great Knesset HaGedolah from the Aguda in 1923. So he was the president of the Aguda, and he suggested this worldwide learning program called the Daf Yomi be started. And in this way, every Yid could learn Shas, and that all the Masechtas that weren't normally studied in the Beis Medrash would get studied. The Chofetz Chaim, who was the Gadol HaDor, stood up in front of Rav Meir Shapiro to show the great kavod you have to have for this Talmud Chacham, who unfortunately died at a very young age, because of the wonderful Daf Yomi program that he started, which we're all learning now, and we should have tremendous Hakoras HaTov and learn always Leila Nishmas, Meir Shapiro Zatzal, who died again at a very young age, because anybody learning the Daf Yomi really has to thank him for this great idea of learning a Daf of Gemara every day, and it's based, the Daf Yomi is based, this idea of the Daf, you grab onto the Daf, it will save you from all of your struggles. And that's in fact what the Gemara tells us. Mikan amru chachamim, if you vow rishama adam, if wicked people are coming on a person, yinano l'rosho, duck your head. In other words, don't start up with them. As Rashi says, yidchem ipnei hashah. Right now, they seem to be having luck. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them favor at this point in time. They'll eventually be destroyed, these rishayim. But right now, don't fight with them because you're not going to be successful. In any event, this idea, Tosafot Yeshanim says, Hishpalti v'ovar alei agal, that we humble ourselves and the waves will pass over us. That's the idea that Daf Yomi, a person becomes humble by learning Torah. A person will become greater by learning Torah. And that's, Baruch Hashem, the Daf Yomi program. In any event, Rabbi Gamliel says, Amarti bo sashor, Rabbi Gamliel said at that period of time, Kama gedolim divrei chachamim shamu. How great are the chachamim that they said, Mayim sheish lehem sof muteris, Mayim shein lehem sof asura. You see from this story, Rabbi Kiva was in a Mayim shein lehem sof. And one would have posited that his wife could remarry, so that would have been a terrible, terrible takkola. So therefore, how great are the words of the rabbis? Now, another story, another brisa. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. This story happened to Rabbi Akiva. He was the one who was saved in the first story, and now in the second brisa, he's going to be like Rabbi Gamliel, the one who mentions about a Talmud that he thought would be dead. One time he was going on a boat, fundraising, Mr. Amar. He saw a boat that was sinking in the ocean near him. And he knew that his Talmud, Rav Meir, was on that boat. And who was that Talmud Chokh? Rav Meir. So he was very, very sad that the great Rav Meir would die. And when he reached Kaputkia, that's where he was going to, he goes into the base medrash over there, and he sees Rav Meir sitting over there giving a shiur and teaching halachas. Amartilu, he said, "Whoa, Rav Meir, I'm so happy you're alive. Bini, mi alcha, how'd you get out of the water? Your ship was drowning." Amali, he said to Rabbi Akiva, "Gal turadani l'chaveiro, each wave passed me on to the next wave, l'chaveiro, the next wave to the next wave, achikiani liyaboshel toy, spit out onto the ground, onto the dry ground, and I was saved." And here Rabbi Akiva says, like Rabbi Gamliel said, Amarti, Beosa Shah, at that moment in time, Rabbi Akiva said, Kama gedol diri chacham shamru. Look how great are the words of the chacham that they said. Mayim sheish lem sov, ishto muteris. Mayim sheish lem sov, ishto asura. Again, the same idea, this ocean that Rabbi Meir, he thought was drowning in fact, he was saved and was able to, even though he couldn't see all the shores, nevertheless, a person could be saved and not be recognized that he was saved to other people, and therefore you can't let the wife remarry. Now, the Mepharshim asks an interesting question over here. So why did Rabbi Akiva only say this now, the Kama Gedolim? Why didn't he say how great the Gedolim were when Rabbi Gamliel said it when he was saved? So they point out, interestingly, that Rabbi Akiva felt that his saving wasn't so miraculous because he caught onto a board. But Rabbi Meir was saved without even catching onto a board. So he said, that's more miraculous, and yet it can occur. And therefore, he says, now I really see Kama Gedolim Divrei Chachamim. Okay. Tanya Rabbi Gamliel, another brisa. Nafal gova rayus if rachmona l'slan, a person fell into a den of lions like Daniel, so emidim love, you can't testify that he would die. And the Yerushalmi, they say exactly this reason. Tosfos brings down on kuf chof aleph umid beis that he says the Yerushalmi holds, yeah, because just like an ace occurred with Daniel, so too could an ace occur with the lions. The Badli here, the Mepharshim, explain it more on the natural way that lions, they're not crowded together. So Mustamba, when he fell into this den of lions, he didn't land on a lion, so the lion would be upset and kill him. So he falls into a den of lions. You go to the zoo, they just fed all the lions. Lions are all lying down. None of them are hungry. Their stomach is sated. Lions usually don't kill unless they're hungry. So therefore, the zookeeper goes into the den of lions after they've all been fed. Lav dafka, is he going to be killed? So that's what happened with this guy. You can't go and testify. Amy even loved that he died, that his wife should be able to marry, because maybe the lions didn't eat him. Maybe they just had eaten, and the lions weren't hungry now, and he didn't step on them. He didn't jump, land on them. And therefore, the lions left him alone. As opposed to lechafura malaya nechashim yakrabim, but he fell into a pit that was full of either snakes, nechashim or akrabim, lav dafka both. Rashi elsewhere says ozeh, either one. That's what Rashi says in Brachos. Because in that situation, me'idin alav, you can testify, as Rashi over there says, shema. In that situation, it's certainly muad hanochosh lishoch. It's certainly high likelihood that the snakes or the scorpions bit him to death. So therefore, in that situation, it's different. And the reasoning is because they're all crowded together. When you land on them, they're going to hiss and bite you and kill you no matter what. Okay, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda ben Seira disagrees. Rav Yehuda ben Seira omer, af l'chafura malei nechashiv akrabim, ein midim lav. Even there, you can't assume necessarily that the guy died when he fell into the pit with either the snakes or the scorpions. Why not? Kaishin, and we turn to Kuf Chof Aleph from Mibbeis, we have to be concerned. Shema Chabarhu, he's a snake charmer. And therefore, Rashi says, Yodea Lelachosh, he is able to go and charm the snakes. He's able to get the scorpions not to bite him. He does whatever he does with his flute, and he sings to them, and the snakes don't kill him. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Misera says, you can't say for certain that the guy died. Why doesn't the Tanakama, the Chum, why don't they concern themselves with that? The Tanakama, Agav Itzisa, so the fact that he pushes and lands on them with force, so even a snake charmer, masculate, they're going to go and kill the guy. So if a snake charmer goes in there without upsetting them, so maybe he has a chance to survive. But if he lands on them, they're all going to jump about and kill him, and therefore he's definitely going to die, according to Tanakama. Another brayso, Tanur Rabbanan, Nof Alasoch Kivshon Eish. If a person falls into a furnace, Kivshon Eish, like with Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, they were thrown into this fiery furnace. So then you can testify, Midin Love, that Nebuch, nobody could survive such a thing. Likewise, if a person fell into a pot, Leyora, Malaya, Yayim Hashem, that was filled with wine or oil, so you can also testify, Midin Love, that they were boiled to death. This is on a fire, and that they definitely died over here, because the fire is going to heat it up and it's going to kill the person inside. Guaranteed. That's what the Tanakhama says. However, Mishum Rav Chai Amru, Rav Chai disagrees. He said, I agree with you. Shel Shem and Midin Love. If he fell into a pot filled with oil, I'll agree with you. Because as he falls in and the oil overflows, so the oil is going to go onto the fire and it's going to make it burn even more. Meshu Mavin. The oil is going to even ignite the fire even more. So that's why you can definitely say that the guy died if he fell into the vat of oil. However, Shel Yayin, if it was wine that he fell into, hey, Midin Love, you're not allowed to go and testify that the guy definitely died. Why? Because as the guy went in and he displaces, the guy falls into this pot of wine, and as he displaces the wine from this big vat, this big pot of wine, so the wine will go out and put out the fire. It's going to come outside of the pot, and it's going to land on the fire around it, and the Beishu Mechabin is going to put it out. So lav davka that the guy is going to die. You can't testify until you see the dead body. No, why didn't the Chacham agree with Rav Acha? Amulo, they said to Rav Acha, yeah, you're right. Chilas and Mechaba. Originally, it will somewhat put out the flames. However, v'sofa mavi, but then it's going to burn. So it's going to even burn more than it did beforehand. So therefore, you can definitely testify that the guy is definitely going to be dead. Rashi explains over here that normally, sofa mavi, that it normally will burn more at the end. Derech bikas, you have a block of wood. Shemachaben also b'mayim, that originally when you put in water or wine, it will go out a little bit. But then, choser is the lekas yosha, misha b'tchila. Then, eventually, it actually sparks up even more. So definitely, even if it's wine, it won't put it out totally, and it'll make it even burn more. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Amar Revei, Revei said, Maisa be'echo shenof al bar gadol v'chulei, that once the person fell into a large pit of water, and yet he was able to survive there for 3 days, and he came out 3 days later. And therefore, Revei says, even if it's Mayim sheyesh lo sof, you're not allowed to go and testify. Mor says, Tanya, Amar lo Remeir, ein maskir maisenisim. So the Braisa says that they told Remei, the Chum said to Remei, you're talking about maisenisim, and we don't believe in maisenisim. Again, I mentioned over here, the Tosus points out, the Yerushalmi says it's really talking about maisenisim, whereas our understanding over here is that they're telling him that this was a very natural, not a miraculous type of event, but we still call it maisenisim because it's highly, highly unlikely. Right? If somebody does something through natural means, that's highly unlikely. We say, oh, that's a miracle what he did. And that's the type of miracle that we're saying, they told Rav Meir, we don't have to concern ourselves, ein maskir maisenisim, and therefore, if it's a body of water, sheyesh lo sof, so then we don't have to concern ourselves with some miraculous type of a recovery. What do we mean exactly over here by maisenisim? My maisenisim. So if you're going to tell me, ilema de lo ochel lo ishte, that the fact that the guy didn't eat or drink for 3 days, that's the nace that occurred, voksiv, that's not so unusual. V'tzumo lai v'yaltochlu v'yaltishtu, shlosh shemim lai v'yom. We know that Esther told Mordechai to go tell Klai Yisrael to go and fast to me for 3 days and three nights, and I'll go into Achashverosh, and whatever will happen, will happen. So, for 3 days and three nights, so you're allowed to fast. So it's not obviously something that's going to kill people normally. Now, it's interesting, there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch about fasting 3 days for Tainus Esther, not the 1 day that we fast. And there are those that fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch for Tainus Esther. That's not the commonly accepted custom, but there are those that remind ourselves of this great fast of Esther that Klal Yisrael did. Tainus Esther was actually a Beis Hei Beis type of Tainus. So some suggest over here this was Beis Hei Beis and not a 3 day fast, but the simple understanding is it's three consecutive days. In any event, so he says, that can't be the reason because people can fast for 3 days and not die. What's the situation? He's talking about mice and he said, over here, Eldunayim, that he didn't sleep for 3 days. And that's an ace because if a person doesn't sleep for 3 days, he's going to die. Dom Rav Yochanan said, if a person makes a shua shalom ishan, shlosh yom, the person says, I swear I'm not going to sleep for 3 days, so then this is a shua shav, and you give him malchus right away, malchus so, he's allowed to go to sleep right away, because there's no way he cannot sleep in 3 days. So is that the nace that you're talking about over here, that the guy didn't sleep for 3 days? So That's why, Rameyer, you're wrong. No, what does Rameyer say to that? Rameyer, my timer, why does he say that that's not a nace? So the Gemara says, Amar of Kahana, keepin, agav keepin habu. There were some sort of arches over there in this underground cavern, which Rameyer says the guy survived in, and therefore he was able to hold on to those arches and sleep, and therefore it's not a maisenisim that he didn't sleep for 3 days. No, why did the Rabbanan hold from this? Rabbanan, they say the shisha habu. In that situation, in that pit, they were made of marble, so those arches in that pit were slippery, and there's no way a guy could have held on to them. No, what does Rameh say to that? Rameh, it's impossible that it isn't a little bit, sarach means that it was not perfectly smooth, then not important, he's able to sleep a little bit. Okay. Morris says another b'risa. Tana Rabbanan Maisa, once was a famous Maisa, Bebitel Shel Nechunya Chofer Shichen, with the daughter of Nechunya, who was building these cisterns, Chofer, he dug out these cisterns for the people to be Olu Regel. Gemara elsewhere tells us that he was a great tzaddik, and he made sure that all the people would be Olu Regel by making additional cisterns of water, so the people, when they come into Olu Regel, would have plenty of water. And he dug this cistern that his daughter now falls into. Shenoflu Baragado, she, his daughter, once fell into such a cistern that Rav Nechunya, Chofer Shichen, had actually dug. New. They went to ask the Shaila to Rav Chanina Medosa, what should we do? Above Odil, Rav Chanina Medosa. And he said, don't worry, Rav Chanina Medosa is the Baal Mofis of Shas. He is a fantastically great Tana. We have many places, Maisa Nisim after Maisa Nisim, that occurred to Rav Chanina Medosa. And then he tells him, Shari Shona, Amar Lehem Shalom. He says, don't worry. They came to him in the first hour, and he said, she's alive. Everything is good. Shneya, they came to him in the second hour, Omlem Shalom. He said, don't worry, everything is good. They came to him in the third hour, Shlishis, and there's no way that she could have survived, that she was underwater for this period of time, of 3 hours or three periods of time. Omlem also, she's been saved. And that's what happened. They found it, and she was saved. And Rav Chanina Medosa asked, Omelah, nu, biti, mihalach, who took you out of that pit with water? So Amalo, she said, I was guided out of there, Zachar Sheruchelim Nizdamali, a male sheep came by, and Bezokim Manhigo, and there was a Zokin leading him, which the Mepharshim explained is the Zechus of Avram Avinu and Dakedah Yitzchak, which is what this is alluding to. That's how I was saved. So everybody was astonished that Rav Chanina Medosa knew that somehow this woman had survived. This daughter of the great Nechunya, Chofer Shichen, had survived. How did he know that? So Amalo, everybody said to him, are you a Navi? Noviata? And he tells him, of course not. Amalem, no. Lo novi onuchi, lo ben novi onuchi. This is a famous quote we have throughout Shas. Many times a person will say, when he asks, is he a novi? He says, no, I'm not a novi, I'm not a son of a novi. Because this is a paraphrasing of Amos when he spoke with Amatzia. So the phraseology is used in many places in Shas. So he said, I'm not a novi, I'm not the son of a novi. Ella, dovor shat tzadik misasik bo, yichosho bozaro. He says, it would be impossible that Nechunya, Chofer Shichen's daughter, should die in the very well that he dug to help out Klai Yisrael. Impossible. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So I was certain that she was saved. Not because I had a nevuah, but I just said, this is not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. If you're Rav Chanina Medosa, so you know these types of things. No, Amar Rabbi Abba, nevertheless, Rabbi Abba said, as great as Nechunya, Chofer Shichen was, nevertheless, Atho Pikein Meis Beno Bitzoma, his son, died of thirst. Now, how could that possibly be? So the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes judges tzaddikim like Nechun ben Akana, what we call b'chut hasara, with the thread of a hair. In other words, they're judged on a much more strict basis, and that's the idea that they should get any punishment that they need to get in this world and not get it in the world to come. And this is based upon either one of two psukim. Shenemah, the first version is that it's based upon the pasuk usvivav nisara ma'od. And around that Kodesh Baruch Hu, it is very, very turbulent. There's a very big storm. A sar with a samach is a storm. And it's spelled here with a sin to allude to this idea of chut hasara. Melamish Kodesh Baruch Hu medaktik im svivav. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a very, very exact with those that are around him. In other words, the people that are the greatest, kichut hasara, with the exactness of even the thread of a hair. So the great tzaddikim are judged in a different way than the regular people are. Alternatively, Ruchinin Omer Mihachar. So the following pasuk, this is also from Tehillim, but this pasuk is Mehacha Kel Narot Besod Kedoshim Rabbah. The Nora Kosiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here judges again the people around him who he takes Eitzah from with great awe. The Nora Kosiva, so those people are judged on a higher level and they're held to an accounting more so than a regular Stam Yid. Now, the Torah's Chaim asks the following question. He says, if this is true, that Nehunya's son died of thirst, so then why couldn't his daughter have drowned in that pit? So the answer that he gives is what I alluded to before, that Rabbi Chanina Bedosa said that the very pit that he dug, it's impossible that the daughter should die, but not that they couldn't die because of thirst, even though his whole reasoning for digging the wells was to prevent people from being thirsty, but nevertheless, his son could die from thirst. Alternatively, he gives a very beautiful answer. He says the difference between the two was that Rabbi Chanina Bedosa was involved in the first case, and that when Rabbi Chanina Bedosa heard that Nechunya, Chofer Shichin's daughter, had fell into the pit, so he davened. And Rabbi Chanina Mendoza davened, so you're pretty much guaranteed that the tefillah would be answered in a positive way. As opposed to with the son, he didn't know anything about it, and Rabbi Chanina Mendoza didn't daven, and that's why Nechunya, Chofer Shichin's son, was not able to be saved through the greatness of his father, because Rabbi Chanina Mendoza didn't daven to him because he didn't know that his son was dying of thirst. Okay, beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Next Mishnah. Even if you heard just stam women talking and saying that so-and-so died, dayo, the person who heard these women talking is allowed to go to Beis Din and testify, hearsay evidence, say that I heard that so-and-so died, and that person's wife will be allowed to remarry. Even afilu shama min atinokos, even if you're little children, omim hare anochem lispod velikbar esish ploni. Oh, we're on the way to the cemetery to go and hear the eulogies and to bury so and so. You can take that to the bank and testify, even based upon what the little children are saying. Somebody hears them saying that, they can go to the base and say, "I heard that so and so died." Now, this is true. The Mishnah tells us, "Bein shu miskavi, bein shenu miskavi." This is true whether the person who is saying this was intending to give testimony or you just stopped talking and you heard him, but that's what the Tanakhama says. Rav Yudin Bava disagrees. Rav Yudin Bava Omer B'Yisrael, dealing with a Yid, Afa Pishu Miskavi, even though he is intending to testify, you can believe him. But if it's a guy, Bavi Kachavim, if he was intending to testify, he might be Miskavi, ain't he do so this. We don't trust the testimony of a guy, as the Gemara will explain, and therefore, if he's talking Stam, so then you'd be allowed to believe him. But if he's coming to testify, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, then the testimony is not believed. Morris Dodson says, when the Mishnah said that you hear the children saying, we're going to the cemetery to hear the eulogies and bury so-and-so, maybe they didn't end up going. So how do you know that this is a true story? No, the comrade, the children said, not that we are going, but we're coming from, we're coming from the cemetery where we heard the eulogies and buried so-and-so. So you can take that to the bank. Adimor says, maybe the children are just making it up. Viduma kamtsa. Kamtsa is a grasshopper. Rashi elsewhere says it could talk about an ant. And the children have like a little pet. So as children are wont to do, viduma kamtsa biyamo shachiv lu viyasiku lei al shamei. So the children made a big deal. Oh, we're going to the funeral of Yanko, because that's what they call their grasshopper. And they're saying, oh, Yanko, he's such a great person. And maybe the kids were just playing a game. And that Yanko really didn't die. Well, says no, because they said, the comrade, the children said, when we went to the cemetery and heard the eulogies, so-and-so, the great rabbi, gave the eulogy, then the other people that spoke, the other eulogizers, so therefore they gave too many details, and when they give this many details, they're not talking about their pet, so clearly this is something that happened, and you can take it to the bank and rely upon this to give testimony that the person died. Then the Mishnah said, however, by a guy, if he's coming to give testimony, you can't accept it. Yudim Bava said you can't accept it. This is true if his testimony was for the purpose of allowing the wife to remarry. However, Abul Niskabi love it. If his testimony was just to say that so-and-so died, and he do so edus, Yudim Bava said, then you can believe him. How do we know what his intention is? So, Amar Yosef. Yosef says it depends what he said. Baal the basin, if he comes to the basin and he tells the basin of Yomar, Ish ploni meis, hey, see you as Ishto. So and so died, his wife can remarry. So then, Zeu niskabi lahatir. That's coming to go and allow the wife to remarry, and we don't accept it. However, if he just comes to the basin and says, Meis stam, that so and so died, so Zeu niskabi lahatir. Then he's coming to just give testimony, and that is acceptable. Similarly, it by Nami, within the base medrash, Rish Lakish said the same thing. I'm Rish Lakish, lo shanu ella shiniskavi lahatir. The only time we don't accept the guy, understanding this Mishnah, that we don't accept the guy's testimony, is if he's coming to be matir, the wife to marry. However, avul niskavi lahatir, if he's just coming to tell us that so and so died, then his testimony is accepted. Edu so edus. Now, Amar Rav Yochan says to him, that's not correct. And I'll show you that that's not the accepted halacha, because lo kach hayamaisa boshaya beribi, didn't such a thing exactly occur with Oshaya beribi. Now we have the Girsa Shetiram, but Yaivitz and Besoros Hashatz and others will say it should be Shehitris, that he was cholek, he fought im shmonim v'chamisha zakenim, he fought with 85 zakenim, the rest of the gedolim, about this. And Amalehem and Moshai Beribi. Beribi means Gadol Hador, Rash Bahak. It's Shlita. It's an expression of greatness. So he told them, Amalehem, Lo Shonu Ela Shiniskavi Lahatir. The Mishnah should be understood as if the guy is coming to free the wife to marry, then you can't accept his testimony. I will Niskavi Lahoyd. If he's just coming to tell us that so and so died, Edusu Edus. So Oshai Beribi said just like Reish Lakish and said just like Rav Yosef. Nevertheless, the majority opinion isn't like that. So where it says, really? So then if we don't paskin like Oshai Beribi, like Reish Lakish, like Rav Yosef, so then what is the Mishnah talking about when we say if he's coming to testify, we don't accept it, but if he's not coming to testify, we do accept it? What does it mean? Elamasnisen, Diktoni, well, we can call him Imhoi Biskavi, Ain Dusu Edus, when the Mishnah says that if he's coming to testify, we don't accept it, so what's the reverse? Why? What is the situation? Well, we do accept his testimony, as Rashi points out. In Dibra Maskel, Heche Mishkachasla, he says, the low niskabi lahoid, the low lahatir. What is the case? So he's not coming to be matir the wife, and he's not coming to testimony, to give testimony. So the word says, we're talking here, we just stop talking. And if he's, for example, saying, kihau, like there's one source of a person, the havakamar of Ozil, once a guy was coming and he was saying, man iko bei chivoy, who is here from the household of this guy chivoy? Man iko bei chivoy, who here is from the household of this guy chivoy? Because Shchiv Chivoy, I want to let you know that Chavoy died. So here he's stopped talking. We're allowed to believe him. Ansevei Rav Yosef Ludvisu. And Rav Yosef allowed Chivoy's wife to marry based upon this guy. He's just stopped talking and saying, I want to let the family know that Chivoy died. Similarly, how did Avakom of Yazio? Once was a guy who said that Vaile Le Parsha Zriza. Woe is to this guy known as Parsha Zriza. He was a very fast driver, a very fast horse rider. David Pumtisa lived in Pumtisa. The Shachav, he died. So, based upon this stam talking, the answer of Rav Yosef, Vitema Rava. Some say it was Rav Yosef, some say it was Rava, permitted the wife to remarry, Lidavisu to remarry. How the Hava Kom of Yozel, another Maisa Shoya, there was a guy that was going from place to place saying, Manika Bechasa. Anybody here from the household of Chasa, because Tova Chasa, never Chasa died. Amr Benachman, Benachman heard this, says, Holokim, he made a lotion of a shvua. Achlu karvi lechasa, ay, poor Chasa, he was eaten by the fish. Now, the Rav Nachman, from what Rav Nachman said, Azla devisu de Chasa, so Chasa's wife went the insula, and she got married based upon what Rav Nachman said. And nobody objected. Lo amule, lo velomidi. Nobody objected, she got married. So these are examples of stam talking. However, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, Shema Mina, you see from this last thing, Chod, the Amar Rabbanon, Mayim Shein Lemsof, Ishto Asura, Hanimila, Lechatrila, Valinosi, Lo Mafkinu Lemine. As Ravashi had said previously, this is only Lechatrila that we allow the woman not to, we don't allow the woman to get married. But bid the evidence, if after the fact she got married, we don't go and force her to get divorced. Okay, that's the first version. Ika the Amri, the second version was, Insa Rav Nachman Disu, Rav Nachman allowed the wife to marry in the case of Chasa's drowning, and Rav Nachman said, Omar, Ansa Rav Nachman Disu, he allowed her to get married, and he said, Omar, Chasa Gavaraba Ise, oh, Chasa was a great Talmud Chacham, and therefore, if he survived, it would be well known. Imisa, the Sola Kola Islay Lemilsa, if he had survived, there would be a voice coming out, a call would come out telling everybody that they survived, and that's why he allowed her to get married. But the word says, Veloi, like we said previously, Lo Shno Gabaraba, Lo Shno Lav Gabaraba, doesn't make a difference whether a great person or not. Lechatrila, the halach is you can't get married, but the Yevit you can. Only the Yevit in Lechatrila Lo. We don't allow you to go and get married, Lechatrila. But if the woman did get married, b'di'evet, we don't force her to get divorced. This is a good break point. We have to be answer Shem, the last daf, tomorrow's shir, to finish this mesechta. With this, we conclude today's shir.